What is up, conscious monkeys? Welcome back to another episode of Traveling to Consciousness. As always, I'm your host, Clanky Terry. And in this week's podcast, the one that's going to be coming to you guys for the next couple of days, I have with me the young, the lively, the beautiful Mimi Lindquist. Hopefully I pronounced her name right, her last name right. Lindquist. She is the partner of Chase Ramey all the way back from episode 041. So if you listened, if you're a longtime listener, first of all, thank you. Kudos to you. But also be known, be aware that she is the one that he's talking about in that podcast. So if you're interested in hearing their story, we don't dive into it into this podcast. No. They have a very fascinating story of being high school sweethearts, getting married, divorcing, and now they're back together. It's a really crazy ride. So go check out episode 041 if that interests you. Odyssey 041. But the likelihood that you're interested in that is low because you probably clicked on this saying, hey, Clayton, I clicked on this because I saw words like AHCC and I saw HPV in the title. And so that's why I'm here. And so if that is why you're here, then you are in the right place, my friend, because Mimi and I, that sounded kind of wild. Mimi and I go very deep on both of those topics. She even complimented me at the end, guys. She told me how amazing my questions were. So I have listened to other podcasts she has done, and I do want to pat myself on the back because I do believe I ask questions that you won't find on any other podcast. Beautiful soul, love the way she describes stuff. You are in for a treat. To give you a quick background on who she is, because we don't really dive into it in the podcast, but Mimi is a culinary nutrition expert. She's an AHCC advocate and educator. She's a registered dental hygienist and the host of the Medicine Podcast, which I was so fortunate to be a guest on. So go check out that podcast if you're interested. She has been helping people prevent disease for well over 10 years now by empowering them and educating them to be their own best health advocates. And we dive in part three a lot into the idea of empowerment, because this is something I've seen in my life. Today, her primary focus is around her product, Immune Intel AHCC, which if you check the show notes, if you go to buy one and you type in promo code Clayton, you're going to get 10% off because it is a premium product. It is very expensive. And based on everything she says, it makes sense. I'm ready to try it myself. I feel like I'm getting into a weird energy right now. Oh, promoting is weird, guys. Oh, that felt good. I don't know if you heard that crack on audio, but it just cracked a little. But she's also doing stuff with like HPV clearing, which was another thing that I knew nothing about coming into this podcast. So I am always excited to learn about new things. Hopefully you're excited too, because this is what this podcast is all about. So I don't want to drag this on anymore because I know you guys want to just get into the meat of it. I know you love listening to the podcast. So with that being said, conscious monkeys, I want to introduce you to Mimi Lindquist.
Traveling to consciousness. Exploring spiritual journeys to find answers in uncertainty.
Does this sound good to you?
I'm good.
Yeah, we're all good on that. Cool. And something we didn't mention right before getting out of the green room is like a huge reason that I wanted to also have you on the podcast is I know as we're speaking here, our podcast, me coming on yours, the Medicine Podcast, just released before we were talking here, which is amazing little divine synchronicity.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to it yet, but something I loved as I was talking about it, or as we were having the conversation with Chase, you seem to have this very interesting way of breaking down like these very esoteric principles that can make sense to like the average person, which I thought was amazing.
Oh, thanks. Well, that's what I have to do for myself when I'm interpreting. I'm running it through my filtration system of life experience and trying to see how this piece of information could obviously assist or help me now, but also like, is this a piece of information that I could have used 2 or 3 years ago? And kind of shedding light as I understand whatever it is that we're talking about, whether it's a spiritual esoteric concept or a quote or whatever, it's like, could I have used this 2 years ago? And how would I have applied this to my life such that I would have been better prepared or felt more in alignment or felt seen in some way? And so sometimes I just get flashes of like visuals where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm seeing this. And then I have a very strong guide archetype in me that lives in me where it like physically becomes uncomfortable if I have a piece of information that has helped me in some way. And if I don't say anything or I don't get it out there and speak authentically to either our listeners or when we're on a podcast with someone else, if I don't speak it and share authentically from my heart, it feels very uncomfortable for me because I think back on the many years that I was struggling and in rock bottom and you know, I had a massive wake up call with my divorce and health crisis and like my inner world crisis that I really leaned on authentic experiences coming from podcasting. I say podcasts saved my life and they did. It's one reason why I'm so passionate about it now. And why we pour our hearts and souls into the medicine podcast is because I know there's someone out there listening that is resonating with what I'm saying, and I'm doing the world and this person, our audience, and myself a disservice if I do not share from a loving place and an authentic place inside of me. And I get a lot of fulfillment from the feedback that we receive from people, because there's a lot of, I'm sure you've seen it, you've witnessed it. There's a lot of people out there, maybe in the podcasting space, but certainly on social media, TikTok, Instagram, all the things that are trying to be authentic. They're like, how do I be more authentic? Here's how I'm going to be more authentic. And it's like a chore. And it's just not something that I deal with. It comes like a spring from outside of me, and I don't care if I sound or look stupid or like I don't have it all figured out, because I don't. And I'm just right next to these people figuring my shit out along the way and helping people as much as I can and hoping that they dodge some of the arrows that hit me.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think, you know, getting more authentic is almost like the journey. I think it's interesting when people bring up like, you know, how do I be authentic? It's like, I don't know. And I see this in terms of like alignment too, where it's like, how do I get into alignment? It's like, you're already in alignment. You're just trying to get in more of alignment with who you are. So I think that's kind of like a beautiful journey that you're on there. Cause you're talking about how you're okay conquering the things that aren't, you're okay going into that darkness. You're okay saying that you don't know. And I think that's a very valuable place for people to start. And it's probably a great place that you're at and being a guide. And I know, you know, speaking of why I wanted to get you on the podcast. Also, I need to make a quick announcement for the audience. Mimi is the beautiful partner of Chase Rami, who was on Podcast Odyssey number 41. And they have a wild story. And maybe we'll get into that at some point. But just as a... if people want to go hear more about their story, go check out that podcast, because we dive into that a lot more from a masculine archetyped perspective. And it was episode 41. So if I don't sound as great as I do now, that's probably why. But, but maybe we'll get into your story at some point. The main reason, coming back to wisdom, coming back to your guiding principles, your ability to guide, a huge thing that I know that I've heard you on a lot of podcasts talk about is AHCC, and I gotta look it up because like it's like AHCC, it's just a mouthful. I know you've talked before about this. There's got to be a rebranding out there. So first of all, have you thought about like a way to rebrand AHCC to like sound a little bit more sexy?
You know, it's a patented product. It stands for Active Hexose Correlated Compound, and it's patented. So there's no rebranding. And, you know, I've come to terms with that. We've talked about it at length, Chase and I. you know, early on in my, I guess, journey with educating on AHCC, he's the business mind. I lead from my heart, and we make this wonderful team where we can sort of complement each other, leading from different places. And this was one thing that he brought up very early on in our business, was like, hey, babe, you know, think about the fact that it is not easy to say, it's a mouthful, it's not easy to remember, there's a lot of education that has to go on here, it's not easy to market. All of these things were sort of like cons, right? In a list of pros and cons, there was a long list of cons.
Yeah.
I didn't give a shit. I didn't care. I knew that I had to talk about this thing. I knew that other people had to know about this thing because it is such a powerful solution for so many people out there. I didn't care. I was like, I hear you, but if I don't follow this, if I don't follow this intuitive nudge, it's going to be a problem for me, because I will go the rest of my life wondering, what if I would have stuck with that? How many lives could have been impacted or changed or supported in some way? And I am so glad that I listened to my heart, that I listened to my intuition, because although it is a mouthful, it's a weird thing now. I kind of like that it's not sexy. I kind of like that it is not just out there everywhere and there's 100 people talking about it. I mean, that would be great. Educating on it, of course, that would raise the knowledge level of the public on this thing, and that would be wonderful. But there is a piece of me that's like, no, I'm proud that I chose this more difficult path. Like, I didn't choose a sexy, easy mushroom like chaga or cordyceps to center my life and education around. I wanted to go with my gut, and I did. So it's a very long answer to, like, yeah, I know it's not sexy, it's not easily marketable, but that's okay. You know, the path for us is not always the easiest. Certainly it's not always the easiest, and it's not always the most fun, but it's ultimately, if we are, like you said, in alignment, and I feel very much in alignment with this path, like, it's a labor of love, and I'm committed to it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's beautiful how you kind of made that pivot almost, that you're grateful for it not being sexy, because that was kind of like where I was saying, I was like, I wonder if there's any positive things to the fact that it's not. But before we even keep diving into the name, like, what even are we talking about here? What is HCC? I know it's something I didn't even know about until after our podcast. Oh, you're like, hey, I was having that issue too. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Can you repeat the question? You froze at like, what?
Yeah. Oh, just like, what is this thing? What are we talking about when we say AHCC? I know it was something that I didn't even know about. And then you were like, oh, hey, like, I enjoy talking about this. And I'm like, I don't know what this is. And I've been a pretty fit guy looking into different nutrition. So, and I've never heard about it. So what even are we talking about when we say AHCC?
Yeah. So I've been educating on AHCC and medicinal mushrooms for 5 years now, over 5 years. And I've met exactly 5 people in that time that have heard of AHCC. So you are not alone. I've spoken to physicians, researchers, scientists, naturopathic doctors, and even other medicinal mushroom gurus. I use that term very lightly, but medicinal mushroom enthusiasts, if you want to call it that, and they haven't heard of AHCC. So AHCC is a patented cultured product from the mycelia of shiitake mushrooms. And it originated in Japan in the late 1980s. So there were these Japanese researchers and scientists that were studying mushrooms, and they basically were able to cultivate and culture the mycelium. So I have a little mushroom. If somebody's watching here, I have a little mushroom piece of art behind me. And what you see here is the mycelia. It's sort of like the root structure.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah. So it looks like the root structure, but it actually behaves like a combination of the immune system and the neural network of the entire fungal organism. So if you go out into nature, if you go into a forest, the entire forest floor is going to be made up of mycelia. So this is literally the fabric of our earth. there are millions and millions and millions, probably billions of miles of mycelia underneath our feet everywhere we walk. This mycelial network is sending information and nutrients to, yes, the fungal organism, but also plants and flowers and trees all over. They are contributing in this way as the sort of web, the worldwide web underneath our feet of plant life and nature, really. So these researchers understood the intelligence of the mycelial network, and they went through this process of developing a patented manufacturing process to culture the mycelia. And they started clinical research right away. Most of the clinical research on AHCC is tied to liver disease and cancer, even end stage cancer, very advanced stages of cancer. And they saw amazing results. I'm talking about tumors that shrink in a matter of months on AHCC. So they continued research through the 90s, through the 2000s, and it is the most clinically researched specialty immune supplement in the world currently. It has over 30 human clinical trials behind it. Everything from cancer, like I said, to liver disease, to medication-resistant epilepsy, to Lyme disease, and even to HPV, human papilloma virus.
And 30 is a lot, right?
For it's classified as a functional food. For a functional food to have even one really well-done, double-blinded, placebo-controlled, gold standard type of clinical study behind it is a big deal. So the fact that AHCC has over 30, it's probably even more so now. I've been using that stat 30 for years now, and it's probably closer to 40 or and beyond. You cannot deny the intelligence.
Is there a reason? Is there a reason that it has so many?
Because it's really freaking effective, and they keep finding new ways to support the human body in different diseases and conditions. So if you want to talk about why, we get into the mechanisms of action. Why does it work so well? How does it work so well? It sounds like some sort of crazy miracle pill that this random girl on this podcast is spitting. How come I've never heard of it? Well, you've probably never heard of it. Not necessarily you, Clayton, but it could be you as well. Just the general you, the universal you, haven't heard of it because, one, it originated in Japan, in Asia. I mean, Asia is known for using medicinal mushrooms for thousands of years to help support the body with different diseases and conditions. But also, our society sort of poo-poos alternative, quote unquote, alternative methods for supporting the body. If it doesn't come in an orange bottle, if it's not prescribed by a doctor, if it's not issued from a pharmaceutical company, doctors are not trained on it. So even though AHCC is used in over 1,000 cancer clinics worldwide, to support people through their journey of, you know, dealing with cancer, it's still not used in the United States for many reasons. The cancer industry is just that. It's an industry. And you notice how the research is linked to chemotherapy, surgery, treatment options, but it's not centered around prevention, lifestyle, figuring out why is this even happening and can we prevent it from the beginning? None of the research, I will say a very small minority of the research, why aren't we studying that? Why, if we really wanted to get to the bottom of cancer, this thing that affects all of us in some way, if it's not us personally, it's our family members, why are we not looking at where it comes from and how and if it can be prevented, not just cut out, burned, and poisoned, but how can it be prevented? And so there's many reasons why people have not heard of it. But it doesn't negate the piles of research and anecdotal evidence out there supporting its badassery.
Always down for some good badassery. Yeah. So then is it something that's well known in other countries, but Americans are just ignorant of?
yeah, it's definitely more well known in other countries like Asia, Japan. I can't tell you which country uses it the most off the top of my head, but I would guess probably somewhere in Asia. They're used to using things like medicinal mushrooms to support the body. And the medicinal mushroom market didn't really reach America till like 30 years ago-ish, where people were actively using mushrooms to support their bodies. So yeah, I mean, Asia's been all over this for thousands and thousands of years.
That's crazy. And so then getting back, so that's also very interesting, because it does seem like, it does feel like there's almost like an information bubble that like we're almost excluded from. And you talked about pharmaceutical companies, but I have a feeling that I probably shouldn't pull that thread too hard. I don't think either of us are at an escape velocity yet to get away from that beast. I'm sure there's a lot of assumptions that can be made within that conversation. It's something that I am interested in, jumping back to the shiitake mushrooms. Mm-hmm. You were saying that this is a chemical, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but a chemical that's found within the mycelium. Is there an extraction process that occurs, and like, or are we just eating shiitake mushroom mycelium?
No. So yeah, it's a very in-depth manufacturing and culturing process that takes roughly 60 days. And the facility that all of the AHCC in the world comes from is, their manufacturing standards are equal to that of any pharmaceutical, because AHCC is used in cancer clinics worldwide, teaching hospitals, research facilities all over. The manufacturing standards have to be top notch. And I went to the facility in 2019 when I attended the International Congress on Nutrition and Integrative Medicine in Sapporo, Japan. This is like basically a red carpet event for the primary and leading researchers and physicians who are studying AHCC all over the world. So it was two full days.
That sounds like a dope trip.
Oh yeah. I was wide-eyed and just starry, like felt like I was at a red carpet event, because I was such a sponge for this information. So I just sat for 2 days straight and listened to researchers from Brazil, from Spain, from Asia, even from America studying AHCC. And so in that trip, I was able to tour the facility. And this thing is like, it's not just like a co-packing, you know, standard facility. It looks like Willy Wonka's factory, honestly, but it's all stainless steel, and it's a very, very in-depth and unique manufacturing process. And I have a couple books that I can send your way if you want to learn more about the actual processing and the culturing, but essentially they culture the mycelium, and then it goes into these huge liquid tanks for 40 to 60 days where it cultures there in a very specific way. And then they, from there, dry it out and make it into a powder that they can then put into a pill and provide to people all over the world. So that's a little bit of the manufacturing process.
Can you drop the names of the books just for anyone listening who might want to find those?
Yeah. So the one that I would recommend most is by Dr. Fred Pescatore. He is the first doctor who really utilized AHCC in his practice in New York. He wrote a book called AHCC, The Medical Breakthrough in Natural Immunotherapy, is the book that I would recommend. That's it's a small book, but it's potent. And anyone who's interested in AHCC will learn a ton. I call it my AHCC Bible.
Nice. Well, anything that's potent is definitely on par for this podcast. So something that always kind of trips me up here when we're talking about extracting things from their natural organism, right? I've seen this kind of with other minerals, and it always kind of gets me like a little off base. It's like, this mineral is found in fruit, or this mineral is found in this. But there's a piece of me that always kind of gets hung up on, yeah, but are we not supposed to eat it in its natural state? Like, what, like, that kind of always throws me off. And you have a bunch of scientific studies that validate its efficacy. do you see that as any sort of issue? Is it like, how does that kind of rub you in regards to extracting something from its natural state?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a good question. So because AHCC is cultured from the mycelia of shiitake mushrooms, if you want to go out and find mycelia and try to separate the thread-like hairs out of the ground and consume those, good luck. But it's not the same as eating a bunch of shiitake mushrooms. When you consume culinary mushrooms, it's a different molecular structure. So for example, the fruiting body is what it's called, that you're putting in a stir fry or you're eating a portobello mushroom bun for a burger or whatever. The fruiting body is made up of what's called beta glucans. These are specific types of polysaccharides. These are long chain sugars. The AHCC and the mycelia is actually made up of alpha glucans. And the reason why this is important is because it's a different molecular structure and it's much, much, much smaller. And we actually have more enzymes in our body to break down the alpha glucans than we do the beta glucans, those bigger long chain sugars. You still can, like I still use fruiting body mushrooms all the time. I put them in my coffee. They're in different mixes that we have in our house, different elixirs. We have a mushroom elixir that uses beta glucans. There's still value there for sure. But alpha glucans, for example, are about 5,000 Daltons, which is the unit of measure that they use to quantify like how big are these sugars, basically. So 5,000 Daltons versus beta glucans, which are up to 200,000 Daltons. So the smaller and different molecular structure is absorbed to a higher degree in our body. So it's better efficacy and better absorption for the body. So it's not equal to or the same as just eating a bunch of culinary mushrooms. If you want to do that, great. Are you going to get the same clinical outcomes as using something like AHCC? Definitely not. So there's a big difference there.
Mm. So then is there AHCC in like the bud of mushrooms? Is that a thing? Or is it only in the mycelium?
Yes, it comes from the mycelium. So it's the way that they culture the mycelium together and extract these compounds out of the mycelia. So it's different than what would be available in the fruiting body. Yes.
Gotcha. So it sounds like there is like a significant genetic difference here in regards to the root mm-hmm. mycelium versus the bud of mushrooms. What if people are like, what's it called? Oh, allergic. How did I not think of that word? What if people are like allergic to mushrooms? Are they able to take AHCC?
Yeah, I've had a lot of people actually come with that question. It's a good question. I can't say blanket statement for every single human out there if they're severely allergic to mushrooms. There might be someone out there. Every single person that has come to me and said, hey, I'm allergic to mushrooms. Is this okay for me to have, or would I have a reaction? What I tell them is just like, open up one of the capsules, put a little on your finger, dab some on your tongue and see how you feel. Start there a little bit more, a little bit more. But we just had someone very close to us, Paul Check, who I think you know or know of. He just started using AHCC, our Immune Intel AHCC, and he is allergic to mushrooms. When he eats mushrooms, he itches all over his body. So he refrains from using medicinal mushroom products. And when I told him about the different molecular structure, he was intrigued and he was like, okay, I'm going to give it a try. And he's been on it for 2 weeks now and hasn't had a single reaction, where he does have a very serious allergy. Wow. Not serious life-threatening, but serious to the point where it's like very annoying and it keeps him from eating and consuming mushrooms. So everyone that I've heard of with a mushroom allergy is still able to consume AHCC and not have problems.
That's crazy. I wonder if it does. Have you heard of anything where people are allergic, they take AHCC and then it clears their allergy to mushrooms?
I haven't asked and no one has given me that information up front. So I don't know that specifically. No.
Okay. It seems like there's something there. But no, it's definitely crazy because, I mean, even as you're going through all of this, there seems to be a ton of benefits. I mean, what were you saying? That it's used for, what was it? Like everything from cancer to immune health to, you know, I don't know, skin, like your skin field looks better. And so if someone doesn't have any issues, could it still benefit them to take AHCC?
Yeah, so we can definitely get into the mechanisms of action and how and why. I think I started to answer that, but I think I got on a rabbit trail. It is beneficial for anyone with an immune system. So I take at least 2 capsules of our immune intel every single day because I want my NK cells, natural killer cells, at an optimal level year round. So that's one of the mechanisms of action that makes it so powerful for all different types of illnesses, conditions, and diseases, really, is it's increasing your natural killer cells or NK cells by up to 300% in a matter of weeks. That's important because NK cells' primary job is to recognize and neutralize things like mutated cells, like cancer cells, and viral replication. So if these are so important that if someone's NK cells are at zero, they will be dead. And Whoa. We saw during COVID, I don't know if you ever saw, but there were some headlines about people who had really, really bad reactions or bad experiences dealing with COVID. They had a very low NK.
Be careful with that C word too.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not making any claims, but this is what we're seeing in the headlines. Is I saw it multiple times where people, even conventional medicine, is talking about the importance of NK cells. And these are very important immune cells. So that's one mechanism of action, is that it's increasing specific immune cells whose job is to keep your immune surveillance in the tip-top shape. But we have so many things coming at us from every angle, whether that's stress from our job, stress from our relationship, even hormetic stress like working out or cold plunge or sauna, chemicals coming in from the air and dealing with all the stuff of a modern human. Our stress buckets get very full very fast. And if people aren't, you know, super dialed in and they're doing all the things to support their body and their immune system, a simple virus can put things over the edge where they're now responding in a really horrible way and they don't have the necessary immune cell levels to deal with this in an effective way. And so that's really important, is the immune surveillance component. And then it's also helpful in managing stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, things like that. So a lot of times people have dysregulated cortisol, and the higher your cortisol, the lower your immune cells are going to be. There is a direct connection between high stress and low immune function because it directly affects the NK cells. So if you can support the body with something like AHCC, and get those NK cells high, it actually, it's helping because it's helping to regulate that stress response in the body, the cortisol. And then it's also helping to decrease systemic inflammation. So one of the blood markers that your doctor will look at to monitor basically like how inflamed is this person, they will look at a blood marker called CRP, C-reactive protein. And in the studies, AHCC has been shown to decrease C-reactive protein, which helps to decrease systemic inflammation. So right there, we have increased immune intelligence, increased immune function with the immune cells and the communication between those cells, something I didn't mention yet. Your immune cells are increased, but then also the information that they're sending each other, the communication channels are also improved via cytokines. So you have the immune intelligence, you have the stress component that it's supporting with, and then you also have inflammation. Well, try and name one condition or disease that doesn't hit one, two, or all three of those things in the body. So that's why AHCC is so effective for so many different and various things, conditions, diseases, issues that come up in the body. So yes, it is. I've explained some of the research on the big diseases already, but sometimes women will start taking it, say, for an autoimmune condition, and they will start using it and they have great results. They feel better. But something else that they'll tell me is like, oh my God, my skin has cleared up completely. Well, acne is an inflammatory response in the body. You know, it's tied to so many things. And if your body is calmer, it's basically having a less of a inflammatory response, you're probably going to see better skin. I also hear, oh my gosh, my cycle has regulated more using AHCC. My hormones feel more balanced. I'm pooping every day. My digestion is better. And so like, I don't claim any one thing for any specific person, but I do hear a lot of anecdotal stories that come to me where it's like, oh my God, I started taking it for this thing. And then I noticed all of these other crazy, awesome benefits. And so, yeah, it is more evidence to show that it's not a Lyme disease supplement. It's not a cancer supplement. It's not an HPV supplement. It's a human body supplement. And it's literally supporting your entire physiology.
Mm. No, that's so crazy. I mean, I know I've never even heard of NK cells, which also coming back to things that baffle my mind in this conversation, never hearing about NK cells is definitely one of them. Before we get too far away from it, quick note on my C word comment. I just know that a lot of creators get like flagged for just talking about that stuff. And on top of that, the topic of this conversation sounds like something that would be very useful, that would indicate that there would be no need to, let's say, get poked with a different drug, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that poses a problem for people who are making a lot of money at the time. So I'm just putting that out there kind of as a joke, but also just as like, I don't want to get in trouble with the big platforms, which sucks because there's this whole freedom of speech issue, I think, that goes on with content creators due to the platforms and then money at B. And I think there's, you know, ironically, I think there's probably some benefits to it, but you know, I just at least, want to be careful before anything big happens.
Yeah, you can totally bleep out my C word for sure. I get it. we have to be, unfortunately, we have to self-censor in some cases, but also, there's tension there for me because people want to hear the truth. And it's really tough as a creator to walk that line of being like, how much can I say without being put in jail, whether it be podcast jail or Instagram jail or whatever, when I know that people can benefit from this. And it's, I feel that tension for sure, but I'll keep the C words to a minimum.
Well, and I think, you know, I think there's multiple levels here, right? I think there's one level of how much, like, first of all, what you're doing is obviously like providing a lot of value of just getting the words of, or the letters of AHCC out there is very beneficial. And I think it's almost like a mechanism, obviously, of control, but at least guiding people to what we need to discuss at certain given times. So like, I think even just having our conversation about free speech and our ability to point out that there are boundaries within it, I think is just maybe even a conversation we can have. So maybe that's even a more powerful conversation to have at this moment, because I know for smaller creators, like, man, I'm sure there's creators even in the millions of followers who still have to taper their speech because they haven't hit this, what I call, and I think I've heard from like Joe Rogan's called an exit velocity. You know, there aren't too many creators who are at what is deemed as exit velocity, where you can talk about anything you want and you have no worries of repercussion. Like for people that come to mind, like Joe Rogan's one of them, probably Jordan Peterson, Jocko, but like there's really not a whole lot of people who, in my opinion, have like gotten to the place where they have get out of jail free cards when it comes to big platforms censoring their material.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It's For sure. And it's something that we think about and talk about, Chase and I, all the time. And the information that I put out and work on and put on my Instagram, and even like the information that I'm working on in this this most recent big project, a lot of it is centered around the conversation of pokes. And it's
What's
a big
pokes?
Piece of pokes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like the shot.
I call them jabs. Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Right.
See, that's the problem. That's the problem with not having free speech.
Yeah, I know. We have to come up with words. One of my friends who's also a creator and she's a holistic practitioner, she uses the word cookie for the shot. And it doesn't mean anything. It's just that something – she uses the cookie emoji because she's so worried about getting flagged or whatever. And she's like – asks people, please do not say the word in the comments or anything, like just use the word cookie. And it's honestly maddening and sad that we have to do that in order to get good information out. It's so frustrating. So yeah, we Chase and I talk about this all the time, and it's something that contributes to a lot of people not saying what they want to say, which is unfortunate.
Well, it's interesting because it seems like there might be a lot of lessons piled up in this, because, you know, I think there's probably an element of fear. Like, are you afraid of, you know, being put into these jails that you're metaphorical jails that you're talking about? And, you know, I guess there's like a dilemma of, okay, are you actually afraid? Like if you're doing it out of fear, it's one thing. But then if it's like, okay, I'm just trying to avoid it so that, I don't know how to articulate this. I guess it kind of comes back to the intention with which you're doing it. And maybe there is a piece of me that fears that, but it's more along, like, I'm not going to go back and bleep your thing, because I'm kind of in the mindset of just like, it is what it is, and whatever happens, happens. But it does seem like a very interesting reflection in regards of like fear linked to free speech that seems to be prevalent in our culture nowadays.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's tons of people that are afraid to say what they need to say. And I've been one of those people in the past, knowing that our business, our livelihood depends on me having an Instagram, unfortunately, but that's the reality. So if I get put in Instagram jail, like I have been in the past, by the way, for telling people, I had someone come into my DMs and ask me like, hey, I'm thinking about getting the poke, getting the jab, whatever. Or, you know, my doctor wants me to, what are your thoughts? And all I messaged back to her was, I think you need to listen to your intuition. And I think you need to take care of your body, make sure that all these other boxes are checked. And your intuition is there for a reason. Follow it. That's all I said. I didn't say don't get it. I didn't say get it. I didn't say it's dangerous. I didn't say anything. I said, follow your intuition. Listen to what your soul is telling you. And I got put in Instagram jail. Somebody, I don't know if somebody reported me or whatever. This was back in 2021. And our business suffered because of it, because I literally couldn't go on Instagram and do anything, because every time I pulled up the app, they had a box that was telling me basically like, you're in Instagram jail. I could still go to my page, but I couldn't do anything. No one could see my stuff. It was very frustrating. And so, yeah, our life, I mean, we're fine. It's not like we went under because of that one week. But yeah, it affects our livelihood. So I'm right there with you. It's really frustrating. And I hope that we're at the peak and that things will change in the future. I don't know. I don't know though. It's, who knows?
It's
we're all
us
here on the roller coaster.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this is where it becomes really important for individuals, like you just said, for the individual to take their health into their own hands and become their own best advocate for their health. And to, if they have questions about something, maybe just wait a little bit and get a second opinion, or do some digging yourself, do some extra research, talk to someone else, like get varying viewpoints. Like that's where we have to step in for ourselves and not rely on three-letter organizations to miraculously keep us healthy somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. They, we got to figure out how to know what's best for us as opposed to somebody else. And I think that there's probably something there in regards to free speech as well of, you know, speaking your truth, which it's something I know a lot of people are afraid to do. I get clients all the time that sometimes they don't even recognize it, but it's like very glaring that it's like, you're not speaking your truth. And it seems to me that just that act, if more people were able to step into their power of saying things that they knew needed to be said, even if it's just at a small scale, I think the ramifications of that are incredible. Like it's very powerful, mm-hmm. if you will, the ramifications of that. And on top of that, I think, you know, coming back to what you initially said, which is, I hope we're at the peak of that. I think that it's always directly tied to the actions of the individual. Like anyone listening to this, myself, yourself, it's up to us at an individual level what the direction of society goes. It's like, do we want to live in a more, do we want to live in a more honest and open society? If the answer to that question is yes, then we have to be more honest and open in our own day-to-day lives and all the conversations that we're having there.
Yeah. Oh, people don't even want to talk about these topics at dinner with family, with friends that they trust who are not going to report them. It's just like, oh, I don't want to go there. Don't want to go there because I don't want to ruffle feathers, or I don't want to be perceived as weird or the outsider. But I think what happens is we assume that people around us think differently than us. And that puts us all in a position where our reality is actually skewed, because if we're looking at headlines, news articles, mainstream legacy media to tell us what reality is without talking to real people around us, then it's completely skewed of what is actually going on in the world. A lot of people, you know, think that everyone wanted to get the jab, when this last time around, only 17% of Americans got the latest poke. That's massive. Wow. In the way of telling us people are waking up. And I don't mean that in a derogatory term, as if like, oh, these asleep people that don't know anything. No, it's people who are like, wait, I don't know if this thing really does what it says it's supposed to do. I'm just going to wait. Like, they only tested this on 10 mice. I don't know if that's really for me right now. Like, so it's that, I just use that example to show that like our perception of reality is skewed when we don't use our voice and hear from the people directly around us, what they actually think and believe. If we stay quiet, then we can assume, oh yeah, they probably are all in favor of this or all in favor of that, when they might not be.
Yeah. I always tell people we're more alike and then we are different. There's usually probably anyone who thinks for themselves, in my opinion, there's probably like 70% overlap, I would say. This is obviously a very anecdotal study that I conducted by myself. But whenever I've had conversations with people, it seems there's probably about a 70% overlap. Like 100% of the time we agree on the issues that need to be solved. But then how we solve them, there's usually about a 70% overlap. And then we tend to fixate on that 30%. And then that's whenever chaos usually ensues of like, how do we fix this? How would you fix this? And that's, I think, where we probably usually find ourselves in, mm-hmm. in some damaging situations that inevitably brings us full circle to stifling our own speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that... what was I just going to say? You brought something up, something popped into my mind. I can't think of it. My brain just farted.
It's okay. 70% overlap. We're more alike than different. Oh,
yes, perfect. Yes, that brought it back. So, yeah, I think what you said is spot on, where most people want to be happy, want to be healthy, and they want to live a long time with the people that they love. Like, I would guess a very, very high majority of people, like, that's pretty much what they want to experience in life. I want to be happy and I want to live a long time and enjoy the people around me. The means to which they do that are different. So some people being happy and healthy means trusting Big Pharma completely to be 100% honest about the products that they're putting out. And they think that that is going to help them in achieving health. That's just their, that's what they've come concluded is going to, you know, get them on their path of being happy and healthy. Whereas someone like myself, that's the last thing that I'm going to do if I want to, you know, ensure that I'm going to be happy and healthy is not to rely on anyone else but myself and mentors and teachers and leaders to, you know, drop nuggets of wisdom and to teach me. But it's ultimately up to me to seek them out and to advocate for myself. And so, yeah, I think we have a lot more in common than what the legacy media tries to tell us about each other. Like, I just feel like there's, over the last 3 years, there's been a new global crisis for the world to become more divided on. And it's just so frustrating because it's like, why don't we focus on what we all have in common? And then from there, we could maybe like sit down and empathize with each other and talk about like what solutions might overlap and everything. Like, I think that the world would be a completely different place if we focused on what we have in common rather than what we disagree on, because it's like you said, it's huge, huge overlap.
It's well put. It's really well put. And what I would even add to that is again, it brings it back to the individual. It comes back to every single person that's listening to this. It's like, what world do you want to live in? And because I know anecdotally, the more that I have become aligned with truth, the more truthful people tend to just come to me. So it's like, you know, we can call it manifestation. We can call it law of attraction. We can call it law of this, law of that, whatever you want to put, whatever label you want to put on it. Just be more of what you want to see in the world. It's like so simple, but it's so powerful and true at the same time.
Yeah, I think it's so simple that it gets overlooked. But if everyone did that for themselves, the world would change overnight. But of course, it takes time, right? It takes time for people to step into that for themselves. But if we all committed to it, the world would immediately, overnight change, which is so wild to think about.
And I think a big piece of it usually comes to confronting fear. And this honestly could be a great part to even bring back in AHCC, because I know that you were discussing how it helps your immune system and everything that, or maybe nervous system too. Well, your immune system, but that I know is tied to your nervous system, where if you're in fight or flight mode, if you're afraid, your nervous system is activated on all cylinders. And I think there's a lot of truth to like learning how to relax and like dive into the things you fear most, and it'll probably activate your nervous system. But this is where like breath work, meditation, maybe even AHCC comes in the play of just learning to like go through it, just chill, like being able to come in tune with your nervous system. So I know you were talking about immune system, but are there any biomarkers in regards to nervous system, in regards to AHCC, of living a more calm life?
I haven't seen any studies specifically like looking at the nervous system specifically. There might be some out there that I haven't seen, but I've had my eyes on a lot of AHCC research. What I have heard from people is that they feel more balanced. And I've actually had a few people come back to me and say they were actually able to wean themselves off of, with the help of their doctor, of course. They started taking AHCC and they were able to wean off of their anxiety medication because they feel more balanced and centered. And I don't know if I can speak directly to the mechanism of action in AHCC that is directly affecting that, but I've had multiple accounts at this point where people are able to use AHCC and then they notice like, I'm not anxious. I don't need my anxiety medication. And then this starts the process of them working with a doctor, because I do not recommend anyone just cold turkey get off any medication. You need to be working with a doctor, of course. But AHCC has no negative side effects in the body, and there's only benefits that come to you when you use it. So it has a lot better safety and long-term safety profile than most pharmaceuticals out there. So that would be my anecdotal evidence, is people who tell me I was able to get off my anxiety meds, which just like lights me up to know. And it just makes me so happy that there's this natural resource that's a functional food with no negative side effects that is helping them in that way.
It's beautiful. And even just how you said it, like, I can tell you're doing God's work. So, I mean, all power to you.
I'm doing my best, brother. I am doing my freaking best. And it's not easy, but it is a labor of love, like I've said.
So what, okay, you said it's not easy. What makes it, because we were just talking about fear, doing what you fear, troubled times. What is it about this that makes it not easy? I hope you're enjoying, because this is the end of part one. And in part two, Mimi and I dive into what that fear is, or that difficulty, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. We're about to find out. I haven't listened to part two yet. Just kidding. Of course I know what it is, but you don't know what it is. So that's why you should listen to part two to figure out what it is. I feel like that was funny, but maybe that was annoying. In part two, we are also going to dive into the intelligence that lives within nature. And we're going to dive into a little bit more about AHCC. Still have a hard time pronouncing it, but here we are. So hopefully you will join us for part two, using intelligence of nature to live in truth.